Oh, Randy, alcoholic. So yes, I got asked about this not too long ago to jump in here to do this meeting. So I haven't mulled this over. So I don't have a script to talk about myself. So if you've ever heard me talk about myself in the past, this will be a different version of it. So which is to say, life is ever changing. So it doesn't matter anyway, because you don't step in the same river twice. Yeah, you don't step in the same because the water's moving. Anyway, wow. Yeah, I wish I'd made it to a previous meeting so I'd get the feel for it, but I've listened to these talks before and I find them very helpful. So my sobriety date is March 19th, 2003. Got that right. I wrote down in a book just in case I forgot. Anyway, so it's let's see, going to be 20 years this March, and it's a date that I really wanted to hang on to. It's important to me. It's a day that I found out 3 months afterwards that my cousin passed away and died because I was looking for him online. My family is not very tight-knit. It's dysfunctional. I mean, I don't know anyone that has a dysfunctional family, right? Right. Anyway, yeah, ha ha. But I was looking to, I was sober for about 3 months, and I was looking for my cousin because he was in Michigan, and I was going to be in the area because at the time I was an over-the-road truck driver, and I found out that he had passed away, and then my aunt had passed away, and no one had told anybody. So that's it was sad, but don't want to go into all that. But it's a date that I thought was very important to try to hang on to, and I've managed to do that. Let's see, let's go back to the alcoholism in the beginning. The very first time I ever drank, I was in my teens, probably junior high. I was raised in an Adventist family, and if you don't know what an Adventist is, look it up on Wikipedia. But the short version is they go to church on Saturday. They eat like Jews as far as the foods, clean meats, unclean meats. 80% of them, 85% of them are vegetarians. At least they were, 30 years ago when I was going to church. And I hated it. I grew up in that environment. Went to church schools. Most of them early on were two-room schools, eight teacher or eight grades with two teachers. For what, second or third grade was a small game school in Burlingame, California. We moved. I was in Livermore, and I rode my bike and went to a little school in Livermore with two teachers, eight grades. So the sports isn't a big deal in my life. It never was. But I felt very odd. I did not feel like the kids down the street from me. I did not feel in place. They had motorbikes, they ate bacon, and they didn't have to worry about going to church. And the sun went down on Friday night, and they didn't have to panic and clean the house and do all these other crazy, crazy things. So, I will grew up not feeling normal and other issues. So in junior high school, at the time we were living in Paradise, California, I stole some alcohol from the lady next door, and it was Sloe Gin. It didn't stay down. I got sick, and what a mess that was. But anyway, I could not wait to do it again. And I drank very much, for almost what until my 30s, late 30s. Had a marriage, had it fall apart. Had a mortgage, it disappeared. Had a, all the bullshit happened, and the party was gone. And it was enjoyable for a few years drinking, absolutely. A lot of good drunken long stories I could share, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about being sober. I'm talking about the fact that I'm feeling sane and feeling much more comfortable with myself today because of AA and Alcoholics Anonymous and people that reached their hands out to me. Even though the lady that got me to my first meeting isn't, you know, coming to meetings anymore, doesn't matter. I'm here. I'm going to be here for her if she decides she wants to come back. But she was also a recovering Adventist child that went to, you know, AA meetings. And part of my story that's probably going to be in almost everything is that Susie was my friend, and I was in a, and I had connected back online after years of not talking. And this is when I was in the truck. I was sitting at a truck stop in Nevada drinking a beer, and she and I were in chat with, like, Yahoo chat. I think it was one of the AOL chat, one of those chats back in those days when things were really slow, you know. And she invited me to a meeting, and that was before St. Patrick's Day. And I went to my first, you know, couple of days later, we chatted, we were in contact. I drank, you know, those evenings. And the last time I believe I had a drink, might have been the next day, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure the last drink I had was there at that bar in Nevada, a casino truck stop area where you could park your truck. And I was there for a good day and a half and celebrated St. Patrick's Day there and probably had a drink the next day. But then I went to Southern California to Riverside and a meeting with where Susie was at. And I sat down and I said, "Hey, I'm Randy and I'm an alcoholic." And that was the hardest thing for me to say. I did not want to say it. I knew I had a problem for years, but I've been miserable. And, you know, it's, I'm sure anyone's been here for a few years understands the misery. And my life has been better since. I've gone through a lot of hardships. Lost my wife. That would not have had 13 years of my wife had it not been for AA. She probably wouldn't have been interested in me if I'd been drinking. But she passed away about a year and a half ago. It'd be 2 years in June. And I didn't have a desire to drink right after that. I felt more like suicidal, why life is worth living, but I didn't really want to drink because I'd gotten into the rhythm of sobriety. Depressed. I mean, it's, you know, dealt with grief, and I'm doing better with the grief today than I've had, and it's getting better. But, you know, anytime my brain gets squirrely, I got to get to AA meetings. And when she was in the hospital and after she died, if it hadn't been for my friends in AA, I probably would have lost my mind. You know, I probably would have gone out and drank or committed suicide or who knows what. But, you know, today I'm sober and I keep coming to the meetings. And, you know, I use tools. I did a Daily Stoic or read from the Daily Stoic book. Early in sobriety, I was trying to figure out whether there was a God or not. You know, I've come to the conclusion that I don't know. So I'm an agnostic. So if you believe in a power, I don't know what's out there. I think there's something going on. I can't explain what it is. I don't think it's organized religion, at least not for me. But, you know, there's things that we can't explain in the universe. Life has got a mystery to it. And you know what? Maybe life should have a mystery to it. Maybe we don't need to have all the answers because, you know, being mysterious is kind of nice. You know, it keeps us looking, keeps us on our toes. It, you know, gives us something to look forward to because we don't know what to expect. The unexpected can be pleasant and it can be rude, but, you know, it can be really good. And I don't know. I think I'm starting to ramble now. So I feel like I've shared. I know it wasn't a really long one. I didn't have it organized, written out very long, but, you know, it's something that, I'm very happy to be here in AA, and anyone that's new to this just needs to keep coming back and they'll figure it out. You know, just don't drink. And if one type of, you know, book doesn't work for you, there's 1,000 books out there. So grab another one and check it out. So with that, you know, I'm done.